Hi, and welcome to today's broadcast of It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Monday, September the 21st of 2015. This month, this week, this year, these years are just going by so fast, and it's letting us know the times that we are in, that Jesus is quickly to return, and we want to make sure that we're prepared for his soon arrival. And if you have not been joining me on my broadcast, I ask you to join me every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times, as well as on Sundays at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central. And for those of you who like to get online and just surf, please visit me on my website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. On my website, you can view previous ministry broadcasts as well as get books for your entire family. I have books for your children. I know real soon the holidays are coming around, and I have books for your little ones, your babies, nursery rhymes, ABCs, 1, 2, 3s of the Bible. I have books for your teenagers, A Diary of a Worship Kid. It's not Diary of a Wimpy Kid. It's Diary of a Worship Kid for God. We want to uplift the youth and not bring them down, calling them wimpy. And then we also have books for adults, and I just finished the book of James a few months ago, the book of James, 30 Days of Devotion for Men. We have the book, The Weight of Weights, that deal with different issues that people struggle with, different weights that we all have carried or are carrying, and just other books on there that's also available for your knowledge and upliftment in the Word of God. And before we begin today's broadcast, as always, I would like for us to remember to please keep in mind our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through persecution. We want to make sure that we keep them lifted up. And we have, again, Pastor Saeed, who's in Iranian prison, three other Americans in Iran prison with him. Well, it's sad that our government would negotiate a nuclear deal on top of that without negotiating the release of our American citizens. So we want to make sure that we keep them lifted up in prayer, as well as other Christians that are being persecuted by ISIS. Women are being raped, murdered, children as well. So we want to make sure that we keep them lifted up in prayer. All right, we have headlines for today. The news is just always, it's always a ton of news, and there's so much that is going on in our world. And it makes you wonder, you know, why is it that there's just so much, so many things that are taking place, and the news, it lets you know when you're reading the news. And I'm not talking about the edited version that the government they control for is MSNBC and CNN. But I'm talking about when you go to the news and you're seeing all the different things that are taking place upon the land. It's letting you know that Jesus is coming, and a lot of things have to be fulfilled before Jesus comes back. And so we just want to make sure that we just keep on top of things. And we're going to talk about something that's going to be taking place in a few days. The Pope is coming to America, his first trip to America. He's going to be going to Philadelphia this weekend. It's supposed to be about families coming together. And so he'll be addressing the families this weekend, this coming up weekend. And then he's also going to be addressing the UN and Congress. A Pope has never addressed Congress. This is the first. These are things that's taking place letting us know that things are lining up in the Bible as God had given it to us. And so it's just so much taking place. But first, we're going to go to some of these headlines. And one of the, let me see, I'm trying to pull my screen up right here. Okay, it says, ISIS defectors disillusioned with killing Muslims. London Associated Press says a growing number of disillusioned Islamic State fighters are defecting from the jihadist group and could be used by governments to deter potential recruits, a report published Monday said. At least 58 people have left the group and publicly spoken about their defection since January of 2014, according to the report by the International Center for the Study of Radicalization and Political Violence at King's College, London. The study said that 17 fighters were reported to have defected in June, July, and August alone, adding that they represent only a small fraction of former fighters, with many too scared to come forward. The ISCR called on governments to make it easier for defectors to speak out without the threat of prosecution as a deterrent to others. Those who told their stories overwhelmingly said they were disaffected by the killing of fellow Sunni Muslims, including innocent civilians, and the group's failure to confront the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. And the defectors' voices are strong and clear. ISIS is not protecting Muslims. It is killing them, the report said. Okay, I believe you do have some that are defecting. However, the majority of who these terrorist organizations are killing is Christians. And it seems like the news wants to always point out the Muslims, but they're not mentioning Christians. They're killing way more Christians than they are Muslims, okay? And so it's like there's a conspiracy to keep we don't want to bring up about the Christians that are being killed. Everything is about the Muslims. It's just like with Obama when he invited that Muslim kid to the White House who had been basically arrested, or actually not arrested, but he had been questioned by the principal and the school, and he made this clock, and this clock looked like a bomb. And when you see the picture, it looks like a bomb, like you would see them trying to disable on CSI or something, okay? And so he said that he was just trying to impress his teacher. Well, there's some reason for concern about the way that bomb was. It was a bomb, but the way it was designed. Now, his parents should have known that something like that would not have been really smart to do at schools, especially with all the things that's going on when it comes to Muslims throughout the world, bombing up suicide bombers and everything. And if you see a picture of this, I suggest you Google it, because if you saw a picture of this clock, that it looked like a bomb, okay? Yeah, I have a timing device on it, but it actually looks like a bomb. So, you know, I was asking the question, is this a future jihadist? Because you can't take anything for granted these days, okay? So the thing is that there's a, it seems like there's a all-out war on Christianity, but then there's a, we want to protect the integrity or the belief system of the Muslims. And this is letting you know is demonic what is actually taking place. Okay, moving on. UN gives Palestinians flags, but no democracy. The vote in favor of hosting the flag is not going to bring democracy, freedom of expression, and transparency to the Palestinians. The vote at the UN concerning the Palestinian flag came amid increased human rights violations by both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. But since when does the UN care about human rights violations committed by the Palestinian Authority and Hamas against their own people? Who cares if Hamas arrests Fatah voters and candidates as long as the Palestinian flag is raised in front of the UN? The UN considers raising a Palestinian flag more important than demanding an end to human rights violations by the Palestinian authorities and Hamas. No UN member states bothered to denounce the Hamas crackdown and the obstruction of the Fatah election. Okay, so basically what this is saying here in this article is the UN, as we know, is composed of, I believe, 121 nations, if I'm correct. Now, not one of them came up against the things of Hamas, okay? As we know, Hamas is a terrorist organization, and they've done a lot of killings, and they've even tried to, they've attacked Israel. Israel has defended itself. However, when Israel defends itself, oh no, you're doing things that goes against human rights. Okay, but then when Hamas does it, there is no consequences, and then the UN goes as far as to allow the Palestinian authorities to raise their flag at the UN. What a slap in the face to Israel, who has been peaceful with the exception of those who are attacking their country. Okay, so what is this going? This is getting closer to the recognition of them trying to really have this two-state solution in Israel. And as we know, the Bible says, you know, when we divide their land, his land, God's land, then he's going to divide ours. Okay, so we need to understand the seriousness of this. You know, you have so many Christians that, you know, they watch the news, the local news, who got shot, stabbed, killed, or whatever. But you really need to be listening to global news, knowing what's happening in the Middle East, because you got to pay attention. Whoever is going on in the Middle East, that's letting us know the times that we are in, the things that are taking place. Another thing that we need to be aware of is the Judeo calendar. We're on the Gregorian calendar, but that is not God's calendar. We need to have a Jewish calendar. I said I'm going to start purchasing a Jewish calendar every year, because that's God's timetable, not ours. It's God's timetable. And a lot of things that is lines up with that particular, because that was God's timing. But man changed to, you know, made the Julian calendar, Gregorian calendar, all these other calendars. But it's actually the Jewish calendar is the calendar that we really should be paying attention to more so than the Gregorian calendar. Hungary puts barbed wire on border with Croatia. Hungary declared that the first row of barbed wire on the 4-meter-high columns of the Hungarian Croatian border was completed. Okay, so what are they doing? Hungary is trying to keep out illegals, you might as well say. The Syrian made-up refugee crisis, okay? Now, I know in the news they show the pictures of the mom and the boy, you know, who's found floating, and, you know, you're so sorry for those. However, this is a man-made crisis that the countries, the nations around the world have did in order to migrate these people into other countries. This is for a worldwide agenda. This is more than just humanitarian aid. There's an agenda behind it. That's why they're pushing for all these countries to take in who they call the Syrian refugees. Okay, the United States is only trying to get in Syria in order to bring down Assad. However, Russia's there as well to keep that from happening. So the thing is that this is a manufactured crisis. This is for them to get their agenda. This is for there to be a national Islamic caliphate, you might as well say. One of their leaders, the Islamic leaders, have said, and I read it to you last week, well, they want to go into the European countries, and they want to breed, and this is what he said, breed with their women, and they feel that they can take over the country once this is done. And if you think about it, if you look at the math, yes, they can. because it comes to where Europe and different countries are having less and less children, and the Muslims are having 4, 5, 6 children at a time. And so, therefore, yes, it's quite possible that they will be able to take over. It's not because of people converting to Islam. It's because they're having more children than most of the European countries. Moving on, without cooperation with Russia, U.S. is only a second fiddle in Syria. The U.S. is in more in need of cooperation with Russia and Syria than vice versa, according to the head of Russian Lower House International Affairs Committee. Without it, Washington will only be able to play second fiddle in the region and will lose the battle for international public opinion. Okay, I want to say this. As we know, just recently came out, documents came out that the CIA created ISIS. And this has been said, but, you know, the thing is, people, oh, that's a conspiracy. There's no truth in that. That's not true. Yes, it is. The U.S. government goes in and they bring down they go in there, if they don't like the person who's in office, they throw them out of office by military force. And then you bring rise to all these other terrorist organizations, and the country wind up being worse off than it was. Can you say Saddam and Iraq that they are better off than they were when Saddam was in? Can you say that Gaddafi that Africa's better off since he? I mean, and it's for their own purposes. It's for their own greedy agendas. The United States is a murderous country. The United States government cannot be trusted. They will murder whoever they want in order to get what they want. They have done it. They've always done it. And they don't care anything about morality. They're always talking about, oh, well, we doing this for democracy. No, it's not. It's for your greed. It's for anyone who wants to defy your system. And it's for power. The United States is a bunch of murdering crooks. And that's what these other countries know. And a lot of countries are tired of it. You know, when other countries are calling us Big Satan, well, you know, and in a lot of ways, they're not wrong about it, because the United States has done so much crook, underhanded stuff, and it's sad, but it is true. All right, moving on. ISIS caliphate is the wild card of Europe's refugee crisis. Fighters of the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, ISIL, stand guard at a checkpoint in the northern Iraq city of Mosul, June 11, 2014, said Tuesday black-clad ISIL fighters have seized Iraq's second biggest city, Mosul, and Tikrit, hometown of former dictator Saddam Hussein, as well as other towns and cities north of Baghdad. They continued to lighten in advance on Thursday, moving into towns just an hour's drive from the capital. Okay, so, you know, the thing is that ISIS is advancing. They're taking territory, and there needs to be a government, the boots on the ground, that can go in and fight them. And that the only way that's going to happen is not going to be by airstrikes. The United States never planned on actually destroying ISIS. They used them for their benefit. But the thing is, and I believe I mentioned this on the last broadcast, because the United States was responsible for creating ISIS, the United States also have blood on their hand, because for every Christian that ISIS killed, every person that ISIS killed, the United States was behind it. So the United States is going to pay for all the Christians that they have allowed to be murdered and had murdered by forming this demonic organization. All right, moving on. All Republican presidential candidates stand for war. This is from Infowars.com. It is reckless for Washington to take provocative actions against Russia. There is no peaceful person among the Republican candidates. Even the female is heartless. Carly Fiorini, if I'm pronouncing her name right, positioned herself alongside the macho men as a warmonger. She let the military security complex know that she too was for sale. Send in the campaign donations and she will see that the money flows back to the military security complex and the buildup of fleets and armaments that will send the Russians a message. Okay, so basically everyone wants to have a war with Russia in our U.S. Okay, I'm talking about the U.S., and they keep poking the bear, not knowing that one day that bear is going to bite, and it's going to be a huge bite, and when that bear bites, the U.S. will not come back from it, okay? The United States will not recover from it. They've put sanctions on Russia, more sanctions on Russia, tried to hurt their economy, turn the enemies against them, turn people against them, kept Russia from, you know, telling other countries that to not allow Russia to use their airspace in order to get to Syria. Now, Russia's trying to fight ISIS, and you would think that the United States will be joining in. However, of course, they're not going to join in because they created them. So this is what's taking place here. However, you know, we're going to see in the future what's going to happen when it comes to the U.S. Crazy dominance. Moving on, 15,000 more refugees to be resettled in U.S. next year. The additional refugees up from 70,000 to the current fiscal year that ends September 30th will come from countries around the world. The United States will increase its cap on the number of refugees it admits and resettles to 85,000 in the coming fiscal year and 100,000 in 2017, Secretary of State John F. Kerry said on Sunday. The additional refugees up from 70,000 in the current fiscal year that ends September 30th will come from countries around the world, but the increase largely reflects the 10,000 Syrian refugees that the White House earlier this month promised to admit. Kerry said the administration is exploring ways to admit even more, but Congress must approve enough money to cover the extra costs of resettlement. Okay, you know, I have a question here. We have people that's unsettled here in the United States already. We have homeless people, homeless vets, that don't have a place to stay while they're trying to bring in other countries. You can't even get help here. But then they're telling other countries, oh, yeah, come on, we're going to give you all the free housing, all the free medical care, all the free food allowances, all these things we're just going to give to you when you come over here. But then those who are already here, oh, no, we're not going to give you anything. You take her home first before you take her abroad. So what kind of mess is this? This is letting you know that this is straight up demonic, okay? This is not anything that's humanitarian. And, yeah, they'll show you the little pictures and the little sad faces and all of this stuff to get the sympathy of the American public. No, the United States has an agenda. The UN has an agenda. The Pope has an agenda because he's going to be coming over here. He's going to be talking his socialist stuff, spread the wealth and help the poor. And yeah, all of that sounds all good and dandy. But what's the real agenda? See, it's not because they're trying to help. They have an agenda behind the agenda. Cautious on Cuba politics. Pope goes east for second mass. Pope Francis heads to eastern Cuba on Monday to celebrate the second mass of a trip that has earned him praise for aiding the communist rulers' rapprochement with Washington, but during which he has steered clear of overt politics. He will be the first pope to visit Holguín, capital of the province where Castro brothers Raúl and Fidel grew up. On nearly every block, posters welcoming the pontiff adorn doors and telephone poles while bike, taxis, and horse-drawn carriages traverse below the yellow and white flags of the Vatican, fluctuating, fluttering alongside Cuba's red, white, and blue. Okay, so everybody's making a big deal, including other nations, making a big deal about the Pope, and they're excited. And you know, this morning, I was listening to a Fox News interview, and these priests were talking about the Pope, and they had the nerve to call him the Prince of Peace. They actually called the Pope the Prince of Peace. But see, that title is reserved. There is only one Prince of Peace, and that's Jesus Christ. There is no other Prince of Peace other than Jesus. And people are making the Pope, which they always have, whoever was the Pope, making him out to be a god, and he isn't. You know, he is not a god. He is not our intercessor. You know, he told people, oh, it's dangerous to think that you can have a relationship with God without the church. You are the church, for one. Let me say that. You are the church. It's not about a building. It's about the person, the relationship with God that they have. Yes, you can. And yes, you do supposed to have a personal relationship with God. It's not about the church building. You, when you die, it's one-on-one. It's not about nobody else. It's about one-on-one. Or are you ready to meet the Lord? And I want to just quickly say in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, because anyone, and I know that they call the Pope the Vicar of Christ. He's no Vicar of Christ. He is not Christ reincarnate on earth. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Well, when I read my Bible, it only names one person as the Prince of Peace. And it was not the Pope. It's no one, no other person, no other name, but Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. That's why it's so important for people to study for yourselves. Because if people were actually Catholics, if they were actually reading the real Word of God, they would not be going to confession. They would not be going to a priest to say, "Father, forgive me," whatever they do, or praying to Hail Mary full of grace. No, if they were actually reading the Word of God the right way, they would not be doing all these things, because the Word of God lets you know that there's no one equal to him. There's no gods before him. Not even supposed to bow down to them or make any graven images. So we definitely need to be able to read the Word for ourselves, encourage others. If they're not reading their Word, encourage others to read the Word for themselves. And this brings me to another article, which is kind of on a different topic. Edward Snowden says aliens are trying to contact planet Earth. Now, I know some people will laugh and say, oh now that's really, really funny. This is real. And these aliens that they're calling aliens, they're demonic beings. And we know this is going to, you know, they're trying to get through, especially with this CERN machine that we have talked about, that they're supposed to be powering up on the 23rd, 2 days from now. What is going to come through that machine? It says NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden had extraordinarily claimed that aliens are real and they are trying to make contact with us. Snowden, who leaked classified files that exposed government agencies spying on civilians, is currently in hiding in Russia, but his latest revelations are anything but low key. The 32-year-old claims that aliens are actively looking for life on other planets, and that the noise from satellites is proof that they exist. the former U.S. intelligence contractor scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson on Star Trek podcast says, so if you have an alien civilization trying to listen for other civilizations, or our civilization trying to listen for aliens, there's only one small period in the development of our society when all their communication will be sent via the most primitive and most unprotected means. So when we think about everything that we're hearing through satellites or everything that they're hearing from our civilization, if there are indeed aliens out there, all of their communication are encrypted by default. So what we are hearing that's actually an alien television show or, you know, a phone call is indistinguishable to us from cosmic microwave background radiation. Snowden was granted an asylum in Russia after he went into hiding in Hong Kong in 2013 following the leak of sensitive files. He is wanted by the United States to face charges of espionage and theft of government property. Okay, so the thing is, Snowden is saying that aliens are trying to contact us. Now, again, this is not far-fetched, okay? Some people will say, oh, well, you know, that's insane. You know, there's no such thing as aliens. There's such thing as demons, okay? So what people have been seeing, these are demonic beings. These are not the beings that's holy and righteous. And no, these are demonic beings. So if anyone ever says, "Oh, well, aliens have if aliens have contacted us and they want to tell us about our existence," and no, they're demonic. They're demonic. You had the Pope say that he would baptize aliens. You can't baptize something that's demonic. What is it, an unholy alliance? There's no Holy Spirit covering on that. But this is what, you know, he said. And so, therefore, you know, some things that we thought, we not supposed to believe in. And, you know, you remember the X-Files from years ago, and I believe they're supposed to be bringing it back. Well, it's not as far-fetched as you might think it is. Some people are like, oh, that's far-fetched. It's actually not. It's not far-fetched at all. Some of the things that we have thought was just for sci-fi is actually real. And when you read your Bible, when it talks about the Nephilim and the sons of men sleeping with the daughters of the earthly daughters prior to the flood, and God destroyed the flood, and there were giants on the land, because they had sex with these human beings and created giants and things that was not natural to God. As we know, Goliath was a giant. So we definitely, there's some things out there that we don't all have the full grasp of. But are there other beings? Yes. Is these demonic beings? Yes. And the Bible in Revelation talks about the key to the abyss. And once there is unlocked, I mean, there's beings, there's demonic beings that's been held back. So these things are not far-fetched. And so you really need to just open your mind and study the word. You study the word of God, and it lets you know all the things that we're seeing is things that that God has warned us about. Franklin Graham condemns Obama's guest list for papal welcome as sinful. Evangelist Franklin Graham has called President Obama's guest list for Pope Francis' welcome this week disgraceful and obviously inappropriate. Even as the Vatican has reportedly objected to the White House's invitation to transgender activists, an openly gay bishop, and supporters of abortion and euthanasia. Now, it makes you wonder, what was Obama thinking about? You know, he obviously demonic or whatever, has some demonic plans. So he invites for the Pope, when he's meeting with the Pope, he invites a transgender an openly gay bishop. Now, these are things that the Catholic Church claim to be against. But you know what? You know, Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. So the thing is that, you know, the Catholic Church, you know, the Pope tries to act like, oh, well, there's we're against certain things, but then the things that they are for is actually against God. There's no such thing as praying to Mary. Mary can't do nothing for you. I don't care how many Hail Marys full of grace you say, Mary is not a saint, and Mary can't do nothing for you. I don't care how many times you go to confession, the priest cannot forgive sins. Only Jesus can. Jesus is our priest. Jesus is our mediator. Jesus is our savior. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There's no vicar of Christ down here on earth. As the Pope will tell you, he's the vicar. No, he's not. There's only one God, one Son of God, and one Holy Spirit. Through all three in one. All right, we are running out of time. I need to go into some other news. Let me see here. Oh, just time passed by so fast. Putin accuses West of using terrorist groups to destabilize governments. Okay, we hit that a little bit earlier with the talking about the formation of ISIS and how the government was the ones that implemented, who actually was able to bring it to pass, bring ISIS on the scene. Every time they go in and topple a government, they're actually destroying the government and making it worse off than it was. And that's how you get all these militia groups to form as terrorist organizations, because the U.S. has went in and destroyed governments. They've gone in and destroyed all kind of governments. And the governments, you know, the nations wind up being worse than they were before they took down the person who was in office. Now it's a such thing, oh, Assad, he's evil and all of this and that. And why are we in other countries' business? Why are we trying to police everybody in the world? It's like the United States feel like that they can tell every country what they're supposed to do in their own country. And this is like a forming of the one world government. And the United Nations is really the government, the one world government. Trying to make sure that they implement as a one world government, that they operate as a one world government. And we're going to talk about why that is in just a moment. But it's just signs of time that we're in the end of the age. And these things that we're reading and hearing about is so, it's just so important for us to stay with God. And so, I pray that I can play this music, but I'm not sure if it's going to right now. And if not, then we're going to go into something else. But it's letting us know the times that we're living in, that Jesus is soon to return. And we want to stay informed. You know, some people are like, oh, well, you know what? I don't want to hear the news or whatever. You need to hear the news. And I'm not talking about your local news, who got shot, stabbed, killed. I'm talking about things that's happening around the world. When you pay attention to what the governments of the nations around the world are doing, it's letting you know the times that we're in, the quickness of the return of Jesus Christ. And it's letting you know that you need to get your house in order. We need to be evangelizing and spreading the word of God. See, so many people get caught up, it's not going to happen for years and years. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we do know that Bible prophecy is really being fulfilled at an alarming rate. And we don't want to be found wanting. So we want to just make sure that we study the word of God in the best to our ability and allow the Holy Spirit to give us the knowledge and the wisdom to use that knowledge. See, it's good to have knowledge, but also have to have the wisdom as to how to use the knowledge that you have obtained as well. Okay, I am going to, I'm not sure if this, if my system is going to play right. I'm trying to get it going, and we're going to see here in just a moment. okay, I'm not sure if it's going to play right now, so therefore we're not going to worry about that. We're just going to skip on to what I have for you today, and we're going to talk about the UN Agenda 2030. Now, many of you have heard, we've talked about UN Agenda 21, and so we have now the UN meeting, their meeting to talk about UN Agenda 2030. Now, UN Agenda 2030 is an agenda that they're trying to have together. They already have put it together for the most part, the UN. And what they're doing is trying to implement things by 2030. So starting January 1st of 2016, it gives them 15 years to fully have everything on this agenda to be accomplished. And it's letting you know the times that we're in, because this is like a one world government that they're doing. Well, what are some of the things that the UN is trying to do? Okay, elimination of private property and wealth accumulation. That's one of the things. Replacing traditional education with workforce education training. Micromanaging all energy distribution and consumption. Driving people to live in a limited number of cities and off of rural land, and enforcing a balance between nature's resources and man's consumption of them. Okay, so what are we talking about here? I'm going to break it down just a little bit, and then we're going to go a little bit further. The elimination of private property and wealth accumulation. So that what they want to do is, they don't want any land to be owned by anyone. Okay. So what they're going to do is they want to make sure they want to get one into like the cities. So if you own acres of land, and you know, as America, we've been able to buy land and just own our land. And if you want to grow gardens and things on your land, they want to eliminate all of that. They don't want you to have anything. They don't want you to be independent of your nation, of your country that you're living in. Wealth accumulation. They want to make sure that everyone is getting the same amount. See, this is what the Pope is trying to come and enforce, trying to promote, endorse, rather. It's basically called socialism. The distribution of the wealth, to spread the wealth around. That means the doctors don't get paid any more than a person working at McDonald's. That is not supposed to be. Now, if you go to school for years, in order to get you an education worth you making more money and things, you should get more money than the person who didn't go to college. But this is what socialism does. It basically keeps the person from having ambition. So what incentive do you have to say, I'm going to go be a doctor, a lawyer, or neurosurgeon or whatever, if you're not going to even get paid what you're worth? Okay, so that's a destruction, a deterioration of that. Micromanaging all energy distribution and consumption. So basically, they want to tell you how to live your life, what you should, what you shouldn't do. This is why they want to have the tax by the mile when you come to putting it in your cars. They want to be able to tax you by the mile. If you have to pay every time you crank up your car, then that's a way to keep you from going anywhere. Okay, so they want to control what energy you use. They don't want you having a fire burner stove. They want to make it where it will actually be against the law to have wood burner stoves and fireplaces, because they want you so dependent on them. So if you decide, well, I want to get off the grid totally, and I don't want to have to live off of their system, they're going to make it very difficult where you can't do that. It's already difficult now, but they'll make it very difficult. They don't want you having firewood where you heat your own home, having coal or whatever. They want you totally relying on them. Driving people to live in limited number of cities and off rural land. Again, they want to crowd everyone in. If you've seen a map of the UN Agenda 21 map for the United States, that is, they have, it's a bunch of red areas, and it's areas where it's uninhabited. So they have a plan to make everyone move in certain areas, but then they want to make sure that other areas are not inhabited. So therefore, they want everyone to stay in apartments and If you got a house, then it's going to be restructured. So your freedoms to live in, you know, you might say I want to live in a rural area, or I might want to live wherever, country, whatever you want to live in, where you won't have that freedom. Let the UN have their way. Enforcing a balance between nature's resources and man's consumptions of them. So they want, what are they talking about here? They already saying that we're having climate change. Okay, so say for instance, I'm going to use this as an example. Say for instance, you had 10 people in a room and you knew that you were going out, your oxygen level was going down. Well, because you have 10 people in a room, your oxygen level will go down faster than if you would have two. So therefore, this is just another way of saying, well, we want to eliminate the extra eight and get the two because we want to save more for ourselves. Okay, so this is, even though they have it dressed up where they're thinking about humanity and everything, it is not what it's cracked up to be. Okay, we're going to go to the preamble for the UN, and I'm going to read this preamble. Let me just take a sip of water. Thank you very much, all right? Okay, the preamble, what is their agenda? All right, this agenda is a plan of action for people, planet, and prosperity. Okay, it also seeks to strengthen and strengthen universal peace and larger freedom. Okay, let me stop right there. So when they're talking about peace, and you're going to have the Pope talking about more than likely peace, serenity, bringing people together, the Bible lets us know that when they say peace, there's sudden destruction. Will there ever be peace on the earth? Not until Jesus comes back. So let no man deceive you. There will never be peace on the earth until Jesus comes back. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right, we're moving on. We recognize that eradicating poverty in all its forms and dimensions, including extreme poverty, is the greatest global challenge and an indispensable requirement for sustainable development. Okay, you're going to hear, when you read Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030, you always going to see sustainable development. Sustainable development basically is controlled development, controlling things the way that they want you to be controlled. Okay, that's what it is. It's all about control. Now, they feel that they can eradicate poverty. Well, the Bible says that the poor will always be with us. So there will not be, you know, you're always going to have the poor. There's not going to be, I don't care how much they try to have this one world government, because that's what the UN is. It's basically trying to have a one world government. And that's not going to be. And so, you know, it's not going to be, they're going to try to set up the one world government, one world currency, one world religion. Okay. But the thing is that it's going to be short lived. So when they're trying to eradicate poverty, it's not going to happen. It says, in all countries and all stakeholders acting in collaborative partnership will implement this plan. We are resolved to free the human race from the tyranny of poverty and want to heal and secure our planet. The only person who can heal and can secure this planet is God himself. Okay? So when they're talking about eradication, no, actually, it's going to be eradicating people, because the globalists want to eliminate 90% of all people off of this planet. They feel like it's too many. Well, you have 6 billion, they would like for it to be 500 million. All right? So let's go on down a little bit. I'm not going to go through the whole preamble. It says people. We are determined to end poverty and hunger in all its form and dimensions, and to ensure all human beings are filled with can fulfill their potential in dignity and equality. Now, The thing is that there's nothing wrong with feeding the poor. There's nothing wrong with it. But theirs is more of a control thing. And when you got to be careful when you're hearing countries and nations such as the United Nations speak on peace, prosperity, eradication, helping humankind, because there are some things that that they have that they want to control you with. And if they can control you, then they own you. And so you don't want to be owned by anyone. Prosperity. We are determined to ensure that all human beings can enjoy prosperous and fulfilling lives, and that economic, social, and technical progress occurs in harmony with nature. Well, who is the giver of all things? It's God. Who is the one who is our provider? It's God. No one else can fill those shoes but God. Okay, they want peace. We are determined to foster peace. I just lost my place. Just give me a moment. We are determined to foster peaceful, just, and inclusive societies. And inclusive societies which are free from fear and violence. There can be no sustainable development without peace, and no peace without sustainable development. Okay, so what are they talking about? This is why there's a push on taking the guns. They want all the guns out of our hands, claiming it's for peace. And there will be no peace. They say, okay, help us be clear from the fear of violence. The only way that things will cut down is by people getting on their knees and praying. That's the only way to do it. There is no other way. Jesus is the only way. And what they leave out is that we need Jesus as a nation. All the nations need Jesus. Partnership. We're determined to mobilize the means required to implement this agenda through a revitalized global partnership for sustainable government. Again, you have sustainable government where they're trying to control. They're trying to get you in the mindset is we're the ones that's telling you what to do. So we can all just get along. Okay, so what are their goals? It's to end poverty, to end hunger, achieve food security, and improve nutrition to promote sustainable agriculture, ensure healthy lives, and promote well-being for all at all ages, ensure inclusive and equitable quality education, and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation. Ensure access to affordable health, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. Promote sustained, inclusive, and substantial economic growth. Full and productive employment and decent work for all. Build resilient infrastructure and promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization and foster innovation. Reduce inequality within and among countries. Make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Okay, excuse me, I had to drink a sip of water. Take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. Now, as I've said before, there is no such thing as climate change. There is a such thing as God changing the climate due to the judgments that are pronounced upon the nation or the world. Conserve and sustainable use of ocean, seas, and marine resources for sustainable development. Protect, restore, and promote sustainable and use of terrestrial ecosystems. Sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation, and halt biology lost. 16, promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. And also strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize the global partnership of sustainable development. basically, what this is all summing up, this is all the goals of the UN Agenda 2030. I don't have time to go into each goal to break it down. If you type in UN 2030, Sustainable Development Agency, or goals or whatever, you can bring up about this where you can go into depth. But basically what their goal is to control every aspect of your life. The freedoms that you once had, you will no longer have. They will force you to vaccinate. They will force you to live in certain areas. They will force you not to be able to live off the system, but live on them. All of this is force, and it's not of God. And we're going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to go to Genesis, because this reminds me of the Tower of Babel, where they're trying to have this one world government. And this is why God changed the languages, and he actually confused the languages, because they were so wicked into thinking that we're going to do this government by ourselves, and it's only going to be because of us. And we want to know that there's no power without Jesus. There's no power without God. But see, man feels that they're God, just like they're trying to do this CERN machine. Man feels that they're God and they can do whatever they want. In Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to start reading at verse 1, and I'm reading out the Life Application Bible, Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, it reads, "At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylon and settled there. They began saying to each other, 'Let's make bricks and harden them with fire.' In this region, bricks was used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let's build a city for ourselves with a tower that reaches up to the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world.'" So they thought, we're going to come with this one world building. And then we're going to live together. We're going to have this one world government. Their one world religion was the idolatry that they had to this tower. So they wanted to, they said, "Oh, we're going to reach it up to the sky." They thought they were going to reach heaven. Okay, but then God, the Lord, came down and looked at the city and the tower. "The people were building. Look," he said, "the people are united." You know, that just came to me. United Nations. The United Nations. The UN. United Nations. And here, they were trying to unite the nations. All right, and it says, "They all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse the people's languages. They won't be able to understand each other." So God was like, "Okay, I got a solution for you. Since you think you're going to build this tower and you're going to build it up to the heavens and basically you're going to have your one world government, well, I'm going to come and make confusion." I believe God is still the same God he was then as he is now. "And that way God scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. This is the way the city called Babel, because this is what the Lord did and confused the language of the people living there. And this way he scattered them all over the world." So God was not playing with them. He told them, he confused their languages. And so therefore, because they couldn't understand each other, they couldn't continue building. Our world is playing with fire. Our world is playing with things that are not even to be messed with, such as the CERN machine that they're visiting to fire up, trying to bring things in and out of the portals. Some things are just not for us to even mess with or know, or just leave it to God. But man has become so wanting to be like God that man has decided, well, we're going to do anything we want to do. But God is still the same God now as he was back then. So therefore, God will deal with those who are trying to set themselves up as God. I'm not going to read any more today. We are going to end today's broadcast. And I pray that these headlines are a blessing to you. And we're going to have a ton more of headlines on Wednesday. And so, but before we end today's broadcast, if you have not accepted Jesus into your heart today, I ask that you say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, and make me anew. Forgive me for all my sins, Lord. Have mercy on me. We want Jesus to be the Lord of our lives and to have mercy on us. And we have to repent. Repent of our sins. And if you said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son down here to die for you and to save you from your sins. And all you have to do is just accept him into your heart today. I know today's broadcast is not as long as we normally have it, but I was a little tired today, and so I'm just going to, you know, end today's broadcast a little bit early. But I pray that you allow God to just open the open knowledge, open the wisdom to use that knowledge, and allow him into your heart, and so that we all will be new and be ready to meet the Savior. And one of those things God loves to do is to evangelize. He loves for us to evangelize to each other and talk about winning souls and helping to be vessels that he can use in order to win others to him. God bless you. We will be back on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and in times. And I'm sure I'm going to have a ton of headlines to go over. I didn't go over as many headlines today, but we will have a ton of headlines to go over. And so God bless you until next time.